With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Sick of overpriced apparel and equipment? Looking for a company who prides themselves in quality products and services? Look no further than our friends at Hit Factory Athletics. Created by a pro ball player, born purely from the love of the game, they exist to serve players and fans of the game. Take it from me, Ben. Hit Factory Athletics prides itself in quality and service. Head on over and check them out at www.hitfactoryathletics.com. That's www.hitfactoryathletics.com. At checkout, enter promo code DRPODCAST, that is DRPODCAST, and receive a 10% discount upon checkout. Join the legends with Hit Factory Athletics.
Portland is a baseball town.
Our secretary didn't have anybody on the phone.
There was nobody on the phone. They were just egging me along.
So they brought a little short, chubby guy in with the name Peters and put him in my place and sent me to double A ball.
Two fans, one mission to bring Major League Baseball to Oregon, fueled by Guardian Games and Athletic Field Design. This is the Diamonds and Roses podcast. Without further ado, your hosts, Ben and Dave.
Just a good old boy.
Never mean no harm.
All right, you're done. No more. Shut that down.
Come on. You always interrupt me, Dave.
Yeah, well, we got no artistic talent, so we're going to move on. You got talent and other things. You got this whole mess set up. We're here at Jester Studios, and it's a mess, but you got it set up. You got it set up right. What's going on, Ben?
Well, we're clicking and turning. And as always, I'm Ben.
And I'm Dave.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to the Diamonds and Roses podcast. We're back again, week number two, with sponsor Mr. Mike Hebrard with Athletic Field Design. Last episode, Mike was so nice to talk about some of his background, some of his history, and some of his time in double-A ball, a little bit triple-A ball, talked about some Portland Mavericks, talked about some Portland Beavers. And this episode, we're going to focus a little bit on Mike's current position of what he does with his work in athletic field design and all the different fun stuff that he's done. We're also going to talk about some of the old Portland Old Timers Baseball Association and then their Diamond Classic, which is a golf tournament that's coming up in this August. And so Mike's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And then to, you know, bring it full circle, we're going to talk a little bit of MLB to PDX and kind of get Mike's take on that. So without further ado, Mike, thanks for being on. It's like long time no see.
Mm-hmm. let's rewind a bit. There was I swear I smelled an interesting story coming up as you were kind of transitioning. You were kind of in a near-end life transition there.
Yeah. My first year there, we wanted to try to get local communities going. So
this is Amarillo, right?
Amarillo, yeah.
Okay.
And we decided to play a game in Lubbock, which is about like from here to Eugene away. And I can't remember if we were at the college. I think we might be college. I can't remember. But we just showed up on the bus, and the field wasn't in very good shape and everything and stuff like that. And we heard that a little bit. Well, we had another one scheduled in Clovis, New Mexico. Hmm. Well, our catcher, one of the catchers decided he could make more money at his dad's Beverly Hills dry cleaning business than he could play pro ball. So he left. Well, our other catcher had a 103 degree temperature.
Oh, jeez.
So granted to say my name did come up, whether it's brief or not, do we use Catch Mike? And it was voted out, I would say, rather quickly, you know. And they cut the guy with a 103 degree temperature. There was probably a better choice. But doing that, so we bring up a guy from, I want to say Reno, Ron Tingley. And here's one of those interesting stories with Ron. Ron was drafted, I think, as an outfielder. Well, short of single A, you got probably 10 outfields out there. They're going to play the guys they signed a little bit more or rotate them in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think Ron got a little bit bored and just started catching guys. And he ended up being a big league backup most of his life.
Wow. You know? So, smart choice.
Yeah. So I go with another funny story on that. My former roommate is Vince Noss. He's with Baseball Chapel now. Hmm. But he was interning with us, and he and I went to Clovis the day before, and I worked on the field, and Vince did all the media stuff, you know, whatever. And I said, okay, I'm ready to chalk the field. Where did I get the chalk? Oh, we don't use chalk. We use flour from the mill. So
I got this cake pillow. When you're done, or what?
Yeah, I got this inverted pillow sack that's got flour in there. So I'm chalking the line, and all of a sudden there's a bird eating the foul line. So poor old Ron, he gets called up, and his first double-A game is in Clovis, New Mexico, in this really little rat hole field we're at. Well, we had Tim Flannery, who was actually our second baseman, had hurt back. And we borrowed one of their players. I think his name was Kapowski. I think he might have broken minor league record for errors, you know, something on, you know, that.
Roger and Dorn.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was funny was that his roommate hit a home run. His roommate. So he comes around second base. He gives him five. Now, our fans don't know that. We're borrowing him. So
there's some weird optics, yeah, right,
so
there.
So here's poor Ron catching this mess, you know, on that. So Vince, we're going to go back to AAA here. Vince ends up, he's from Philadelphia, and he ends up getting assistant director information for Phillies. His idol. He's got it.
Dream job.
Mm-hmm. And Richie Ashburn is involved there too. So anyway, I get contacted to catch the home run contest for the Phillies and the Beavers. Okay? So I got the Philly road eating for him. I'm just going to catch a home run contest. So there's my ex-roommate, Vince, talking to John Denny. I think he's a Cy winner. And I go up to Vince and I go, where do you want me? He's going, this is not my place to tell guys where to be. You know, and he realizes me. And I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden this guy says, hey, let's play catch. Okay. This is Mike Schmidt. You know, don't be Adam, man. You know? So that was
you played catch with Mike Schmidt.
Yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah, that was a kind of a funny thing. Uh-huh. And so that kind of gets us back to where I moved back to Portland, obviously, and I'm literally begging guys to let me help them with the field. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that comes up, the do baseball in this town, can you make a living full time year round do a baseball?
Not really.
Not
really.
Okay.
Yeah,
but the passion for that type of work is baseball.
Yeah,
there's no passion putting straight lines out there and doing this and stuff. Well, I kind of, but that pays. And I used to have, I'd go out and do a football field, use some of the hurt players or the coaches, and it wasn't a money issue. It was getting it done. And once I got to that point, and I start bringing a couple guys in with me, mm-hmm. and we're doing 3 or 4 fields a day, which, I mean, most districts would be lucky to get that done in a week. You know, we've got That's it down amazing. To such a system on how we do stuff, you know. So, and then we start doing the soccer, and I had to start learning about soccer, and they throw lacrosse in there, you know.
That's a whole new deal.
Well, I win the lacrosse by default. It's either mommies and daddies or grounds have the rule book, and neither one's good because the way they got the girls' rules and stuff on how you do it. And then I got to do the some of the World Cup games when they brought the SADA in Civic Stadium.
That's cool.
That was kind of neat. Huh. We had the SARS thing, so we got moved there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat to do that. I've probably done things a little bit different than I did before, but I was kind of still learning. Mm-hmm. I really didn't have a mentor on doing a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, you just learned it on the fly.
And I met George Toma, the guru of them all. And then I literally, I met the head guy, Don Follett, that was with the Arizona State at that time. I met him the year before at a convention. And I says, Don, if I come 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, can you get me on the field? He goes, yeah. So I get a plane and fly in there, get a rental car and a hotel. And I go down there and I'm holding the hose. Now, all I got to do is step on a line and drag the hose. I'm gone. you know, yeah. on that. So I got to know those guys a little bit and stuff like cool. that. It was kind of interesting because I'm in the grounds room, and I see George reading this article on the Sports Turf magazine. I'm looking at it. There's a picture of me. My back, he's reading, you know, what are the odds, you know?
That's cool.
See that. So, and he knows me as that guy in Oregon, you know, on that. So he's still a good friend. I actually got to know him from Jim Carnes, International Seed, was personal friends and used to mm-hmm. supply the seed for the Super Bowl. So I got that relationship. It was more on a personal one than most guys get it on the grounds guy because they sure. all know him from the grounds.
Yeah. yeah.
You know?
One of the questions that comes up, and I'm kind of jumping back a little bit, sure. and I forgot this. Why catching? I mean, what was it about that position that kind of made you want to jump in, or is it just something that you fell into?
Shortest in the water cooler?
I don't know. Well, I didn't know if it's like something that inspired you.
One thing of baseball that I found out somewhat early, that your arm develops by playing all the time. Mm-hmm. And never not playing very much. You know, I didn't have a very good arm. And I wasn't very fast. Well, the way I was born, there were some limitations on the way I was born with my hips and stuff, which 16 years ago I had a hip replacement because I just basically running. So I never could run very good. You know, mm-hmm. I learned early that I could not run at all. And I couldn't throw very good, but I could catch guys and roll the ball back, you know. And that's why I was a Bob Uecker catcher, where I just wait for the ball to stop rolling and go to backstop, pick it up, throw it back, you know,
yeah.
all that stuff, you know. So that's pretty much it.
Okay.
And I think I would catch anybody at any time, you know. And I think that was a lot of times guys say, I don't want to catch right now or something like that. But, you know, there's kind of a shortage of it in a way, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And I like doing it. And, you know, I probably had a pretty good relationship with a lot of the pitchers, you know. Mm-hmm.
So you're working on this with your business, Athletic Field Design. Mm-hmm. What year did you start Athletic Field Design?
Probably about 26 years ago. But see, I've been in it for, you're looking over at my 40 card, years. Over 40 years because I was in Amarillo in 79 or so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you really, that kind of really kind of projected you to where you were going.
I didn't know. I'm a dumb P major with a master's, never took a business or marketing class, and I've created this thing that, you know, I did have competition, which was my son. He moved to Phoenix, and he's doing the same thing I'm doing.
No way.
Yeah, he's a business major.
Yeah.
And he worked for me a little bit. He worked with me since he's 5 years old. Well, after he graduated, he played 4 years of college baseball and was a two-way guy at Division II. And was
pretty good. That's cool.
Yeah, that was good.
Ways,
yeah. And I remember when I was talking to his coach in Missouri Western, and he said, "Well, we just want him to pitch. He's a good pitcher. We need a closer." I go, look, I'm swing the bat a little bit. No, we can pitch. Next thing I know, he's played first. He batted 4 or 5, and then he's throwing game one and going to third and playing first.
Division two, that's crazy.
And if I had a complaint, I see parents who have that all-time complaint about the playing time, and he played too much. I mean, he'd be in there the whole game, and mm-hmm. you know, if he come in relief and stuff like that, you know, so he ended up working with the Redskins. You know, had to get away from Daddy for a little bit.
Yeah,
and he worked a full year with the Dodgers on there. You know, and he found out I wasn't such a dummy. You know, by the guys he with the Eric Hansen at the Dodgers, I couldn't have picked a better guy for my son to go to, and mentor.
That's
you
cool.
know. And so, and he's in Phoenix now, so he kind of helps out with a guy that has a company that renovates fields, and he just got done doing two of the spring training sites for the Dodgers minor league side.
Okay.
And the Cubs logo at Sloan Field, mm-hmm. he did that for him. And so he's managed some other projects and stuff like that, so he's mm-hmm. done real well. But, you know, he's a business degree. He's taken my stuff to a little bit higher level on that with me not – I do some pretty good marketing and stuff. Obviously, the money you're making on my advertising here is, you know, that another bottle magnet. Of beer is going there.
Yeah, bottle of beer and this magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says right here. It says right here on your magnet, you're a tournament groundskeeper for Little League.
Yeah, for the Little League Softball World Series.
Oh, Alpenrose.
Yeah. At Alpenrose.
Yeah, okay.
It is just like the one they have in Williamsport for the boys. We have that same age group in Portland.
Did you go back to Williamsport to kind of look at the layout and see how they do things?
I went back there last year mainly. I was back. I'm hooked up with a long drive, mm-hmm. you know. So we were. I was back at Atlantic City, and so I went up there and just saw the facility, you know. And I mean, it's really primo on the way they do things and stuff. They don't have a lot of games on there. They do some camps and stuff. My challenge is that they get done with their tournament or their league play. They go into tournaments. So I used to try to renovate it during their. It just didn't work out, you know. And then about, I want to say almost 10 years ago, grass infield with Little League softball looks a little mundane, little hokey, you know. Mm-hmm. This isn't, you know, you're going to compete against ASA and stuff. Well, granted, these ASA tournaments, if you ever look how they prep a field, nothing against the guys do it. They get 5 minutes. They're not filling in the holes. They're maybe dragging the dust all over and all this stuff. And our batter's box and mounds are just second to none, you know. But they came up. Little League International came up and says, well, I've actually had a couple coaches say, why don't you just cut the sod and put it over there for a week to bring it back? It's garbage. You know, so we end up stripping the infield, you know, and I think we did two the first year and stripping them and, you know, sod cutting and regrading. I have a little laser grader so I can set the grade at it, stuff. And so that's working pretty good. And softball field is a little still mundane, all dirt. Well, I kind of represent a conditioner, Turfus, and they have different colors of product. So I went out and did, for opening ceremonies, I did some mowing patterns. We drop it and miss and drop, you know. And I told the tournament director, says, you know, don't get surprised when you see what we do for the, you know, for the opening ceremonies. I says, I'd like to do it for the championship game. I'll take a picture and send it to ESPN. He sends it in, and they want to know what it looks like after the fourth inning. Good. So the next day, I do another pattern. And I go, what'd they say? Oh, I forgot to send a picture. So I had to do it again, third day, you know. So anyway, they had no problem. So we start doing these other patterns, you know, and some are pretty tricky. And then we were still playing, I think, a couple games at the other field. Then we move all of them, all four games a day are at main field. And so... and by the way, 2012, we won Field of the Year for the sports turf thing, which is it's kind of high honor to win that. That's you know, my son was helping out quite a bit and stuff. So we kind of took that another level. I've got a lot of support from Toro and Lewis Seed and Scott's Fertilizer and some of the other people. When I first started it, I don't even think I fertilized the first year or two. And then I met a guy, Jim Fredig with Scott's, and he started helping out a little bit. And I've reached out to many people.
So you got a client base. How far out around the area are you going now? Like in terms of your geographical?
Real simple.
Keeping it close.
I go anywhere you pay the freight.
Really?
Unfortunately, with my age and my weight, the freight bill has gone up a little bit. But I got kind of hooked up with a guy with a long drive, Tim Kemp in Dallas, and they have the long drive national championship. They were just doing one, and it was in Thatcherville, Oklahoma, at Windstar Casino. And through all this process, this guy owned the long drive thing. And it got kind of somewhat, I don't know the whole detail, it somewhat got sold to the Golf Channel. Well, the Golf Channel was thinking, if we do more of these, we can sell more ads. So we went to Denver 1 year. We went to Maricopa. We've gone to Mesquite now. Back there, we didn't go there this year. We're in Tennessee. We're just at Fort Jackson on a military base, Atlantic City. You know, so I kind of got involved in this thing a little bit, and I've kind of helped the guy a little bit, and then he's networking. I've brought him out here. That's good. Mm-hmm. I got him tasting our honey ginger lime. You know, Art, I don't think you've talked to Art Lawrence from his Cascade Brewing and stuff. And that's another story on the honey ginger lime. But anyway, this guy does parking lots and rail yards. Hmm. And he's a good old football coach. He just started painting fields and parking lots. So I go, so you paint one line, then 500 more. Yeah. I said, that's passionless painting. What do you mean? There's no passion paint lines. I do nice stuff. I do all these logos and everything. It looks cool, you know? And so we kind of, I brought him out here, helped me out a job at Nike, and I have to buy him a raincoat. Because it's just raining, he doesn't paint parking lots. So, you know, and so it was kind of a funny story. So anyway, I kind of got, he usually drives all the equipment there and we fly in and do that. And
awesome.
I've gone to, I do the three single A fields in this area, Hillsboro, Eugene, and Volcanoes.
Okay.
The two synthetic fields, Eugene and Hops, I'm usually painting their logo because they try to, like PK Park, they have ducks right now. Mm-hmm. I actually painted the first duck logo and show them how to do it.
Cool.
And then they'll remove that. I don't know if you know how the removable paint system works.
No, I
know.
No, talk to us about
Seattle
that.
And New England, and I think a couple more now, are all Atlanta, are all green fields. They're all green. They're not in one inlaid line in there. Okay. Dallas is a little different. They have three fields. They have NFL, they'll have a collegiate football, and they'll have a soccer. So they have three completely different fields.
Right.
All the rest have one field. And so they this paint has it's more like a stain, I guess you would say. And you spray a chemical. Well, Portland, Province Park, same thing. They're all green.
Oh, okay.
And they put a chemical that softens the paint. Now, the technology's come so much that with the chemical that softens the paint, they have a vacuum on it that will suck up the paint is lighter than the rubber and sand.
Wow.
So they do that a lot.
Chemistry
when,
and physics.
When they first did Seattle, they were using paint with, I think,
are we talking CenturyLink? Or are we talking?
Yeah, CenturyLink. Okay. Yeah, the first one, and that that paint didn't break down, and that you look under after they pulled the turf up, it was just solid compacted stuff. They were actually trying to decompact it with other equipment, mm-hmm. but now it's all removable stuff. So I do a lot of as soon as they're done with the Oregon baseball, they'll remove that, and I'll go down and
do the Corvallis Knights stuff.
No, because that's it's too much stuff. They already got stuff on the field already. Hmm. It's hard to put their logo anywhere.
Right.
But I got to do. I have the championship for a couple years ago when Eugene won it, so I got to do that again.
Hmm.
And we did. I think we did. I want to say 42 one year in the
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
We freehand that out in the outfield with a darker color paint, you know, mm-hmm. that's wore off. And then the Hops, I do their hashtag and their an at sign, all hopped up and Hillsboro Hops mm-hmm. on each, in front of the dugouts. And then I paint Barley, I've done the H, I've done Hops. So it gives a lot of flexibility
sure.
by changing that. And we actually can do that on grass too with this type of paint. You know, just got to use less chemical.
I think we've got to get out there one of these days and kind of see this process and how he's doing this.
Get the pictures of it, get it up on the site.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, the headquarters is a Cascade Brewing.
Sure.
Afterwards, you know, almost mandatory after you help paint.
Yeah.
I like that.
Get all the toxins out of your system.
Yeah, I like that kind of headquarters.
So I got a question for you because I'm a bit of a dummy on this.
Good.
So with the turf fields, you see, like, if you go to soccer games, you see them out there watering the field a bunch of times. Can you explain a little bit about why?
Yeah, that kind of adds to the slide tackle and slippery enough. But they originally came up with all this irrigation to flood the field down because it's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, you create an unnatural humidity factor.
Yeah.
With all the heat and throw water on it, you're like Houston. So it lasts, I think they said, 30, 40 minutes. As far as cooling the field down, I've seen where umpires will faint and pass out because they're just standing in the same place all the time.
And just baking.
Yeah. But I think with soccer, it doesn't get you very far. You know, I know when they first put the Portland field in, they're all about the speed index. And then this pouring down rain, you see a big rooster tail on the ball. Where's your speed index, you know,
yeah.
on that thing? But I think that the cooling factor doesn't work as well. I mean, you can't stop the game every once in a while and water the field again because it's so hot in there, and it's got the black rubber that will probably
absorb that heat.
Heat and stuff like that.
So what's been your the coolest experience that you've had is so far in your field?
Oh,
so far that you've enjoyed the most.
I got to help out the Rose Bowl a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Very cool.
Yeah. Pasadena, huh? I met Will Snell at we have this National Sports Turf Conference every year, and it revolves around. And I'm in Denver, and I'm looking. There's the guys from Arizona. There's guys from Washington. There's a guy from USC. And they don't know each other.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I got all the contact information.
Sure.
I got them all together, introduce everybody, take a picture. That's about all we do. And I've done the fourth year. So Will one time, he's with Rose Bowl Rose Bowl, yeah. And that's where UCLA plays their home game. Mm-hmm. So he's part of UCLA, in my opinion. And all of a sudden Will says, hey, and we got like 18 of us standing around. I want to invite you guys. You all can come and help with Rose Bowl.
Well, that's cool.
I'm in Phoenix during Christmas time, and I call Will. I says, is this still offered? He says, yeah. I says, okay, well, I'll come down and help paint, then I'll go back home. And are you going to stay for the game? I go, well, I didn't know it was an option. No, you got to stay for the game.
That's awesome.
So I go down there, and we're rolling. He rolls all the end zones and the sideline. It's pretty mundane compared to what I do. Mm-hmm. But his grasp, I would say that's the best grass I've ever seen. Really? Rose Bowl. Unbelievable. Yeah. But I look back when Oregon played Penn State in Rose Bowl, and mm-hmm. there's big clips. I think it was before Will was there. And it's nowhere near it is now. And mm-hmm. they get a new field 2-3 times a year because they got other events and stuff. But it's a showcase,
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm helping out roll stuff and everything. And then he said 1 year the Rose Bowl committee wouldn't let the grounds guy on the field during the game. They had to all watch the game in his office, So, but that got all cleared up. So we get the game going. I got my badge and everything. And where I'm at, my seat, you can't buy. You can't buy the seat I had.
Cool.
Are you with Oklahoma? Well, no. Are you with Georgia? No. Are you with the Rose Bowl committee? No. What were you here? So I'm standing on 6 feet from the sideline. The whole game.
No way.
Yeah. And so we have two touchdowns on my end. I look on the scoreboard, and so I film it. I take a picture of me. I'm right there on the scoreboard. Awesome. So
taking a picture of you filming.
Yeah.
Surreal.
So it was, I would say that was probably the epitome of actually mm-hmm. being an event. And I couldn't tell you what it looks like in the stands. I'm in front of the ropes guy. I'm never really in the stands. I'm terrible watching a game. I actually was at Arizona State last month and sat with my wife for 3-4 games, which I've never done. I haven't done that with my son pitching. I'm in a corner somewhere.
Yeah. Well, when I went and saw the UP University of Portland play Oregon State, you were down by the foul pole and just standing there.
Yeah, I can't. In fact, 1 year I painted, I did something for the Hops, and I had a big, bright orange Oregon State shirt on. And I come to the game. KO gets me on the game, and he goes, "Where's the TV game?" He goes, "Where you at?" I go, "Oh, I'm fine." I don't see. No. I need you sitting in the front row because there's nobody sitting there. So
optics.
So I took like three seats, and I'm a big old orange thing right behind home plate. So that's kind of funny.
Like the Marlins guy.
Pretty much.
They're always doing down there. Yeah, that's funny.
So you're part of an organization called the Old Timers Baseball Association. Tell us a little bit about the Old Timers Baseball, and when did you join the Old Timers Baseball Association?
When I moved back to Portland, I used to go to their banquets, and we've had speakers like Tommy Lasorda and some more keynote ones way before I got involved. And then Milo Mesko, he's passed away since, but he was involved with the Old Timers Board and said, "Hey, Mike, we're playing an Old Timers game, and Ben, do you want to meet us there?" I go, "Yeah." So I'm thinking, I'm borderline being an old timer. I caught somewhat professionally, $5 a game, if that's professionally, for the Beavers in the bullpen. Yeah. So I'm borderline being an old timer.
Yeah.
I was happened to be down in Roseburg, and my son was with me. So we drove across, and I go over there, and they said, "Oh, the uniforms are over there in the dugout. You got red, little red shorts and a kind of pullover mock Beaver and a little hat." So we're taking batting practice. That's kind of neat. So I go and stand next to the guy and go, "Where'd you play at?" "Oh, I'm a lawyer." "Oh, okay." So I go stand next to the guy and says, "Where'd you play at?" "Oh, I played 15 over softball." And then these guys played. One guy he played was Artie Wilson. I think he was 7 years old. And he still could play.
So, made you feel a little better.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, yeah. I met Art Lawrence was with Linfield, another Linfield National Championship. I know two guys. He played in 66, I believe. And he refused to catch this one guy. So I found out if I could catch every other inning and have 2 weeks off, another 50 weeks off, I still could play. You know, it worked out.
another 50 weeks off.
So the funny part is they had obviously some pretty good oversized weight guys. And one of their guys, he did something to his leg. And so they just really literally dragged him off the field to get off fair play. Yeah. And we put another guy out there and stuff. So I met Art Lawrence. And kind of funny story with Art. Art was with Portland Brewing. And so I bought this stock for $500. It gave you one free pint of beer a day. And this goes back to my business a little bit. I'll go back to the old timers. I'm telling these guys all this stuff to do on the field. And so it looks like I'm a know-it-all. This guy goes, "Well, what CDs do you recommend buying?" "Oh, I wouldn't buy a CD. I buy the Portland Brewing stock. $500, free pint of beer a day." Went down next day and bought it. Bought a stock. So I got no Art. And then he says, we need you on the board. You're one of the younger guys on the board. So I kept on, you know, doing a couple things and stuff. And Ruth Mesko was getting ready to retire. And my wife, legal secretary, was pretty well automated with computers and all that stuff. And Art approached her about being our new executive secretary. You know, and I didn't want her to do that. But she's made it pretty, she's really organized a lot of stuff for us. It really helped out with our technology. We still have a couple guys that we got to do snail mail with and stuff. But most of everybody we're doing on that. But what we do is we have the two events a year. We do a banquet that we issue scholarships to the players that are going to college and stay in Oregon. Mm-hmm. You know, mainly it's the Portland area. And then we can't do Oregon State or now UP because they're fully funded. So if we gave the money to that kid, it goes in the general fund. The kid never sees it.
Sure. So smaller schools.
Yeah, we go to Linfield, Mount Hood Community.
Concordia.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense because I was wondering a little bit why it was some of these other
schools. Yeah, kids so when, people don't them. Quite understand that. And there's some accolades. The kid's got to be like first team. I'm not involved in that selection committee.
There are criteria. And,
there's some criteria for them to do, represent us. And then we do the golf tournament that we try to get foursomes together
Talk a little bit about this golf tournament. It's the Diamond Classic Golf Tournament. Yeah, the Diamond Classic Golf Tournament, which takes place this August. I believe it said August.
First Monday in August, always first Monday in August.
August 5th at 1 p.m. at the Reserve, which is at 4805 Southwest 229th Avenue in Aloha, Oregon, 97007.
Yeah.
So you're obviously playing 18 holes. There's a golf cart, range balls, lunch and refreshments on the course.
Great lunch.
Great.
And then, you know,
there's a dinner, banquet, and awards.
Oh, yeah.
Program days of activities and team contest awards. It says, "We invite all golfers to enjoy a fun event to raise money for youth baseball in Portland."
Good cause. Good cause.
We have money. We also give, we have leagues request money for new gear or something like that, and they have to go through another criteria of, and then we issue them money. We've had some emergency things where somebody's stolen their stuff or got burnt or something, where we'll give them money. The idea is to keep money going in here.
It's a community
and I've
outreach.
Got to be a little bit more bigger. I always buy two tables. That's how I met you two knuckleheads. Yeah, so you're out there hanging. You had nowhere to eat and stuff. I felt bad for you.
We appreciate that. Yeah,
yeah. We came. So, we're like, hi, I always Ben and Dave.
Always try to invite other coaches that I've done work for or stuff like that. So get them and buy two tables. And then we have one guy will buy like one ticket. You know, you're a board member. You need to try to sell a whole table, you know, on that. And then I got involved in sponsoring a team. And we're defending champions, like I said. We got Shonda Reamer, Jeff Skellinger, which was a past award winner for the scholarship.
Hmm. Oh, that's cool.
My son's father-in-law, Darren Wellborn, and Colin Griffin, the first time he went back to Jesuit where he went to school, he won state. Mm-hmm. And I think he's rated number one right now. So we had, I'm just the owner, so I don't play at all. I got my hole in one. There's no challenge for me anymore.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's when you hang it up.
Yeah. But I think Ben said, I don't know how much you said you were going to pay me, Ben, but he wants me to follow you around and paint a line everywhere you hit the ball. But I'm having an issue of getting the paint to stay in the water.
Right.
So I'm working on that technology.
You find my ball first. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so that's going to be crazy.
I think I figured out a solution. We have what's called cinder blocks, twine, and we have some
flag or something,
some boards that we can just, you know, put it in the water and you just paint them. Yeah.
Yeah. Representing all my splashdowns.
It'll go back and forth.
They call me Splashdown. Well,
Splash Brothers, you guys both played the same
thing. The real Splash Brothers,
If there's no wind, you'll see the exact line. Oh, if it's wind, it'll look like a little iffy. Dave will grow full gray beard on us.
Yeah.
I'll be out there a while. Where's my ball?
Happy Gilmore. How are you?
So no, I can't bring my foot wedge. Okay. Well...
I am having a personal issue right now. My mom is an avid Golden State Warrior fan.
Oh,
I've taken her I've taken a game every year. I took the old Sleep Train Arena, and I took her to Oracle, and then this last year I took her to New Sacramento Arena. It's like a mall down there.
Oh, it is nice.
Well, next year I'm gonna have to take her to the new one
downtown San Francisco.
So I think she called me earlier. I think she was to place a big bet or something like that. All I know is the dogs usually go to the other room when she watches the TV.
Pride's on the line.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm really glad to hear about the Old Timers Baseball Association.
Yeah, you guys do good
what
work.
They do.
And again, it's you don't have to be a golfer or. I know everybody likes to eat, and we've always had some good speakers and stuff. And we're always trying to revamp things.
We'll put some info up on the site.
Yeah,
and kind of put.
Yeah. Do you know of any of the speakers this year or?
I think but nothing really set in stone yet. You know.
Okay.
But we've got it. We finally got Darwin Barney. You know, we've been chasing after him, but you know he's always having the Cubs thing that weekend or something like that. You know, so. We finally got him to speak, you know, and then of course we had Craig Cheek and Mike Barrett. That was, you know, that was really good timing at that event because it was just kind of released that we're.
Isaac Rob did a great job hosting. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was great. And so if somebody's interested in wanting to participate or join the Old Timers Baseball Association, how are they go about doing that?
Well, they probably can contact me. It's, but. Yeah, we have probably.
But let's talk a little bit about that. So, is there a certain criteria that they have to meet in order to be with the
lose a contest?
Lose a contest.
Sounds very formal. Very formal.
Yeah. I probably could easily.
I'd slide right in.
Be careful what you say because you might be in there. We are trying to get some younger guys. Nothing against the older guys, but we need some more. Participate a lot of energy. There's like setting up for the banquet, and we do a silent auction. There, we have some pretty nice stuff, and
it's really well put together. Well,
somehow I end up with a Nolan Ryan poster,
plethora of stuff. I mean,
there's amazing stuff.
Pictures.
I was impressed. Yeah.
I mean, signed autograph cleats, baseballs, posters, signed bats. I know there was a Darwin Barney bat the last one, and some, oh gosh, just a large amount of stuff. I mean, this is pretty amazing. It's at the Mac.
Yeah.
And is that where you host it every year?
Yeah. It seemed we've had guys try to move it around and stuff. Everybody's used to that.
It's a great site.
Parking is easy, mm-hmm. Especially some of the older guys. They need to be dropped off in front. So yeah. It works out good. And we've had to raise our prices up, you know, just like anything else, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Let's talk a little bit about MLB to PDX, but let's kind of associate the banquet with that. If and when baseball does come to Portland and they have the Major League Stadium, do you almost foresee moving that banquet to the new stadium?
Because,
I mean, what better venue?
We have like 400 people. That's a lot. So they would need a big room.
I'm sure they could probably do it.
They
got a big roof.
Yeah, we'd be on the field. Yeah. Yeah, Bobby. You know, I never thought of that option, you know, but
it'd be a great view.
Yeah.
Across the river.
Across the river, well, looking out at a field.
I'm excited. Perfect. I heard something about the water taxi, and I live in Clackamas, so
okay. They
grab one in Milwaukee, go to the game, and
we can do it together. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, you, me, Dave, jump on, drink a couple beers, and up to the game.
Portland State guy.
Go Vikes. Yeah,
that's right.
Vikes,
Portland State Vikes only.
Yeah.
So let's talk about MLB to PDX. So, you know, what's your thought on that? I mean, like, do you think it'll be a team that is relocated? Do you think it'll be a
expansion
team?
Well, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I thought you were going to say something about the grounds.
What would you prefer?
Yeah.
One thing I heard, there's 30 owners right now, right? So you bring two new guys in. And there are 30 owners that now we got to split all this profit with these two guys.
Mm.
That's one thing that comes up. With the advent of, what Ben mentioned earlier, Montreal did, you know, they got one pulled away, I think a little bit unjustly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did, and I think, you know, they could probably jump into their old stadium and go for a year or two. You know, I guess Nashville's talking and stuff like that too. The thing that was kind of interesting that I heard that I don't think anybody thought of is the NBA, that flying into Denver and San Antonio are hard to fly into. Those towns.
Not a lot of flights.
You got to have a connection. You know, mm-hmm. There's no real direct flights to some of these towns where you look at Portland and L.A.
Yeah.
and Chicago and New York, you know. So... I think definitely we need to get another team out of the West Coast.
Yeah.
Out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
like we talked about, if you can get it in Portland, it's like recreating the old PCL.
It fills in a lot of gaps mm-hmm. for that and stuff like that. You know, and they were, you know, back in the old days, AAA, they were the big dog on the Pacific Coast League and stuff like that. And as far as I know, it's going to go grass. We were involved a little bit with. The Las Vegas one, they went to grass on the new baseball stadium. The football, from what I understand, Las Vegas is going to stay grass. The saddest part I heard in our organization, the Sports Turf Managers Association, North Carolina football won Field of the Year. Hmm. The guys are so proud of themselves, of the diamonds and everything they do paint. And the new coach, named me later, well, he's there now, said, oh, we've got to go synthetic.
After they got that award?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and then guess what? Arkansas is going to grass. Mississippi went to grass. You know, they're finding things out. There's there's places for synthetic, you know, but when you got these major stadiums and they're not playing soccer on these football stadiums mm-hmm. and stuff, you know. They might do one event and make a couple marks on there, so it's not a big deal for them, you know.
Would you see the new state, if the baseball comes here, Portland, when it does, do you see it being grass or do you see it being
It's supposed to be grass from what I understand.
Huh.
Yeah.
And what's it, talk a little bit about, like, from your expertise and your knowledge of turf management, what kind of time needs to be allocated towards management of an actual sports facility in the field itself?
On grass?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the technologies come with the big roll sod. Okay? They're, the NFL, I think they got a budget for two, maybe three times a re-sod up the middle and stuff like that. I was real fortunate when my son worked at Washington Redskins. I got to see him they use this phrase mower over there, they can adjust it, and it rips out the depth of grass that we want to get rid of.
Oh, okay.
And the next day they're laying sod. There's no intention of it rooting in that quick, but the weight of the sod is so heavy, and they kind of force it in there, and they can play right on it like the same day.
You know? Wow.
So that the technology has come a long way with the big roll sod, sand-based sod. They're growing sod on plastic now.
Oh, wow.
There's not much dirt on there now. The technology's just like our cell phones. Everything technology's gotten so much, you know. And of course, the same token, the technology on synthetic turf is like, you look what Atlanta did. They held the SEC championship, okay? The next day they had NFL, and the next week they had Portland Timbers.
Yeah, three on the same stadium.
Yeah.
And they paint and remove and all that stuff, you know. So it's...
That's unheard of
a few decades
turf.
Ago.
That's turf. That's not... You know, I did grass.
Another claim to fame. We went to Houston Astrodome. I met the head grounds guy after the game. I watched him switch from baseball to football on the way he did stuff. Slept on my wallet on a 40-yard line.
Huh.
My good friend of mine that's since passed away, Dave Steve, played Portland State, a receiver, caught the winning pass on the 50-49 game against Montana that June Jones threw.
Sweet.
My brother and I were pulled out of stands and run the down chains because now they have like 7-8 guys over there now, you know. And so the Cardinals are playing a spring preseason game. And I'm talking to one of their probably trainer or doctor or something like that. He says, yeah, Dave didn't drop any. He says, I didn't drop any. So I got to see Dave, and I had just as much money. Only if you're young and stupid like I was, I had just enough money to take a flight from Hobby Airport to Amarillo. Because I didn't have a credit card or anything.
Yeah.
Like the worst place in the world to walk in Houston, probably not with a flood, from Astrodome to Hobby Airport at night.
Oh. Yeah. But you don't know anybody. Yeah, yeah. You're young and stupid.
But I got to see that whole transition of how they did it back in the old AstroTurf days.
Yeah.
The carpet and all that stuff. So I've been lucky on seeing some transitions.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you, with the potential for baseball here in Portland, do you see Terminal 2 working as like a good location? I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure about the space on how many acres. I guess it is big enough.
It's like 50-something acres.
Yeah, I think the idea of having a waterfront and coming like a McCovey Cove or something like that, that's the whole thing is, you know, Portland just has a weird city where you go down to Phoenix, you got the baseball stadium and you got the basketball arena down there. Everything's right down. Everybody gets off of work. They go right to the game and stuff like that. And here, you know, you can't really do that with those venues. Even the Moda Center is kind of hard to do that. You know, they try to put those shops or restaurants down there, you know, that just didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, just not enough. Nobody's down there.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be down there except for a game.
It's too out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But if they were downtown or something like that, I think that would be novel. I think the infrastructure with getting light rail and everything there, I think that's a must.
And that the area that they're talking about, just right near it where Old Vaughn Street Stadium was.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just talking to Callan from Baseballism. He's talking about how, you know, it's really up and coming. There's a lot of the bed and breakfast or the
Airbnb
accessible
places where people want to go
that
aren't going to a baseball game.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you had relocation of a team, the two teams they're talking about is Oakland and Tampa Bay. Which team would you prefer?
Oh, I probably Oakland. You know, I think there's a lot of people here root for the A's in American American League. That's another issue is we get National American. That's that's a big split with team. But you know,
I don't think it really
Seattle did that in football. Yeah. You know, and then Milwaukee did in baseball. You know.
Yeah. Whether it be NL, whether it be AL, I think that a lot of people look at it, can we play the Mariners a bunch? I mean, with interleague play, you're going to get to play the Mariners.
Mariners,
And you got, but then again, you got Nashville with San Francisco, that's another rivalry, too.
But the closest
a lot of San Fran fans out here.
Yeah.
But the closest stadium between Seattle, from Seattle, is the closest stadium from there is in San Francisco, correct?
Oakland. Yeah,
would be
the
Oakland Coliseum. Okay, well, it's
I did see Willie Mays' last game. I did go to that World Series.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
very cool.
It's kind of funny because I drove down there by myself. I walked up to take a thing. I got second row, for the American League Championship with the Baltimore Orioles. Hmm. After, you know, the announcer went and said, well, maybe after this we can buy the World Series tickets. Well, they lost. So they said that in Game 7, they were all booing him because they jinxed it. But literally after that game was over, I walked right out and stood in line behind maybe 10 people and bought World Series tickets. Hmm. You know, so
why not? But
yeah, why not? So yeah. At least I got to see that. So that's kind of cool. Nice.
Nice. Well, you know, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me. Everything that we talked about it.
Yeah, everything that you've done, everything that you talked about, it's been great. We've got a lot of great information from you. So, you know, that'll do it for this episode. And as always, I'm Ben.
And I'm Dave.
And I am still Mike.
And you have yourself a great day, great evening, wherever you're at. Peace out.